Welcome to Your Weekly Dose podcast, the only show for those who missed the Mark and Brian radio program. Coming to you from Orange County in Southern California. Hear it happen live without a net every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Download past episodes directly from our website, yourweeklydose.com. But if you're on the go, subscribe through iTunes, Podbean, Stitcher, and make sure you leave a review. Now, here's this week's show.
Something about you, I wanna rescue. I don't even know you, so what does that mean? Maybe I'm cynical, painfully logical. You're tragic and beautiful, and that's good enough for me. Looking for a hero, but it's just my old tattoo. Tonight I swear I'd sell my soul to be a hero for you.
There you go. That's the lick right there.
If Jesus was in a band, this would be it.
Somebody sent you, the angel to save you.
Well, good morning, everybody. Happy Saturday to all of you. Come on in. Have a seat. Sit down with us, because Lyric's here.
Yes, sir.
Steve is joining us again.
I sure am.
I feel like we're going to Salt and Pepper every other week. I don't know why.
It does seem like it, yes, it does. Yeah.
And I am Sean Roberts, and this is your Weekly Dose podcast.
Thank you for joining us today. And, of course, we are always, as we say, streaming live from you, to you, from Orange County. It starts.
Yeah, and if you knew the... Go ahead, brother.
Well, you know, if you are new to Your Weekly Dose, our podcast is about having fun as we recap our past week and enlighten your day through laughter.
Yep, you already know we like to make you laugh and talk about the silly, awkward, and embarrassing things we've all done recently. You know, the things that connect us all and the things that make us all human. After all, laughter is the best medicine.
And to all our listeners, old and new, we love it when you are a part of the show. So join us in the conversation by commenting on each of our episodes on our website, yourweeklydose.com. You can also send a message via X or Instagram at yourweeklydose1.
Yep, or you can also connect with us on Facebook at yourweeklydose or email us at yourweeklydose1@gmail.com.
And today, guys, we got a pretty fun show for you. We got a lot of things to talk about. We're going to, at 10:30, we're going to have movie reviews with Paul Preston. It's National Poem Day, so we're going to read you some poems. It's also National Superhero Day, so what superhero would each of us be and why? We also have Gabe Braxton calling in a little bit later on, who's going to be giving us some Babe Ruth facts, and it's Babe Ruth Day.
That'll be fun.
Yeah, and then also we got some other fun facts going on later on, so we got a fun show, so join us, would you please?
And not only can you download the show for free from our website, but you can also subscribe to the show through iTunes, iHeartRadio, or Spotify. Just search for Your Weekly Dose, and most importantly, tell the world what you think of this, so please rate and review the show.
And, of course, today's theme song is Superman Tonight by Bon Jovi. Doing it for a couple of reasons, because, again, we were talking about it's National Superhero Day. And if you've been hiding under a rock for the last, I don't know, month or so, I guess, basically, John's been going around promoting a new documentary on the band called Thank You, Goodnight. which celebrates the 40 years of the band.
That's going to do gangbusters.
Yeah. And, of course, they've been doing it at a couple of different film festivals and everything, and the band's been going out. And it's supposed to be a no-holds-barred type of documentary. He didn't, John emphasized that he did not want to have a puff piece on the band or anything. He wanted to have everybody's truth.
I'm going to fucking be watching the shit out of that.
Yeah, I've already downloaded it.
I haven't watched it yet. I'm going to watch it.
Yeah, it's on Hulu.
Yeah, I'll be watching it.
But yeah, it's going to be really good. I'm already about, what, two-thirds of the way through of the first episode.
Is it cool so far?
So, yeah. I mean, nothing surprising for me because, I mean, I know the band's history overall.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's I'm looking forward on the evolution of after he got signed. And
well, it's always cool to even just be able to look at the behind-the-scenes stuff of a band like that and just see how they are off camera. That stuff is always good to see, too. So it's gonna be-
oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely, because, I mean, that's where you really get to see the work ethics.
Yes, sir.
Like, I always tell my students, you know, I said, it doesn't matter how big you are or whatever. I said, everybody still practices. And I show them two things that always crack me, not crack me up, but that I endear, I guess, to a degree. One of them is where Mick Jagger is in Paris, rents out something. And, of course, it's very Paris-looking, you know, with the
very
room
bougie,
is.
Very bougie.
Yeah. Oh, God. Yeah, way bougie.
Yeah.
And he's there with a coach in front of a mirror practicing his moves that he's been doing for the last 50, 60 years, though. But he still works on it and works on his stage presence.
Yeah, man.
You know?
Everything is rehearsed. If you really are about, if you're about your shit, when you get on stage, every move is rehearsed. Unless you're doing,
oh yeah,
unless you're doing improv, not everything you're doing is 100%.
That's one thing that people don't realize.
Nah.
You know, it's like, and that's why I think a lot of the hair metal bands from the 80s did so well, because when you look at like older bands that laid the groundwork, like Bad Company or Led Zeppelin. You know, yeah, great music and stuff, but they weren't that entertaining to watch overall. And they started to move.
Who?
You know, yeah, them too. And they started to move and stuff and everything. Wait, you thought I was going to fall for that? Yeah. You know, Daltrey's moving around and this and that and coming out with no shirt and stuff, whatever. I mean, that was the beginning of it. But then by the time you get to the 80s rock stuff, you know, you had a lot of the New York bands like Hanoi Rocks or the New York Dolls really putting on a show, you know.
Performing.
Really performing, you know. Well, and this is why I give, really give an awful lot of credit to Kiss as well.
Yeah, big performers.
Big performances, you know.
Because they realized early that stage presence is a huge part of what makes them come back for your live show.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it don't matter how good of a singer you are, if you get on stage and you're just singing in the middle of the stage, you're fucking boring. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we can hear this shit on the radio. There's no point in going to the show.
Thank you.
You know what I'm saying? Once you incorporate a performance, it's a different ball game.
Exactly. And so by the time you get to the 80s, when you have bands like Bon Jovi or Def Leppard or Warrant or Poison or Motley Crue, they put on a hell of a show.
Because it was all, again, from the time they step on that damn stage to the time they leave, every step is choreographed. They've already worked on that joint.
Yeah. And I don't think some of these singers today work as hard. Unless they're dancing and singing at the same time, I don't think a lot of them work as hard as some of those bands did.
They get on stage. Now, man, they just get on stage and they play. There's really no, like, very few artists have a full stage show where you could tell they've
I was just watching on YouTube some old videos of groups and stuff like the Platters, Four Tops, and people like this. And you watch them in the coming out of the 40s and through the 50s, that everything they did, every beat had a movement.
Yes,
everything
sir.
A turn.
Oh yeah.
There's no wasted movement.
There was well, it's like wow. That
look at the Temptations. They had the same choreographer from beginning to end, you know, and that's just it. Everything had a movement.
It was all about the entertainment, about the show for the audience.
It's like when you go and see a stage play.
Yeah.
Right? Everything on that stage, like, people don't, yeah, it don't look like it's rehearsed when someone fights here, they fall here. But no, all that shit is perfectly rehearsed for weeks on end. And again, they realize, no, if we really want to do this music thing the right way, we have to put on a full performance. Because that's where you make most of your money. Like, you make money off album sales and off radio. But no, most of your money as an artist comes from your live show. And if your live show sucks, then I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah. And I fell asleep watching Collective Soul open up for Van Halen. Because all they did, they came out and, you know, they had the big song Shine at the time. Mm. And they came out, you know, did their songs. But they stood, the guitarist guy, you know, who should be running around and this and that and engaging, he stood there in front of the microphone rocking back and forth. Yep. All 45. Oh, no, wait. He turned around and then faced his amps and rocked back and forth.
He didn't even look at the crowd.
And then turned back around again and then did the same thing for the remainder of the show. I literally fell asleep, and this was, I think, at the Forum I saw them at. And because I've seen Van Halen twice, once with David Lee and once with Sammy. Mm. And this was the, this was the Fuck album. The Four and Lawful Calder Knowledge album.
He's not sorry.
And and they, so Collective Soul was opening up for them on that tour. And, I mean, that place reeked of pot like you wouldn't believe.
Of course.
I still fell asleep. You know?
Again, if they're boring, they're you know, I remember the very first time I performed with my band on stage. I had my bassist, Paul. Love you, Paul. He was my bassist. My man, I believe it was all of our first time really being on stage like that, so we weren't really trained on stage presence. And I just remember being on stage performing, and Paul was super fucking wooden. One position, smile pasted on his face.
And just playing.
Just playing his ass off. And I remember going through that, and I remember, you know, in your head, you think you killed it. Like, man, we did good as hell. And then we got off the stage, and three dudes were the next act. It was a metal band. It was three dudes. It was drums,
guitar,
rhythm,
bass,
and lead. No bass. Just
no bass. Oh, wow.
Two guitars and the drums. And they got on stage and fucking destroyed the stage. And that's when I was like, oh, that's how far we can go. Because I've, like, people get surprising, but I've never really done, like, before I got here, I had never been really to a lot of live shows, especially with bands.
Right.
And that was my first time messing around with a band as a rapper. Cats don't usually do that.
Right.
And after I saw them three white boys get up there and fucking kill that shit, I was like, oh, we can go that far. Yeah. So we just changed everything. But yeah, once you figure out the stage performance, yeah, man, it's a whole nother world.
And that's why a lot of the LA bands did what they did, was to, you know, put on that show. And I remember, God bless him, man, rest in peace, Janie Lane from Warrant. I got to know him for a period of time. And, you know, Janie talked about how the difference it is between a club and an arena. Because in a club, you're playing right to the people. So you've got them right there.
Yeah.
You still got to move and do this and do that.
Yeah, because they're right. They're literally right there. You can't reach out and touch them.
Exactly. I mean, they're you know, even if there's a balcony or whatever, you're still only 100 feet away. Mm-hmm. But where in an arena,
you've
got to make these bigger, giant gestures so that way the last person who bought the nosebleed seats can at the last minute can still see what the hell is going on.
Yep.
You know?
Oh, different ball game, man.
Oh, completely different ball game. You know, and what sucks is that as we get older, we can't do the things that we used to do.
No.
You know.
For what they say, youth is wasted on the young.
Yeah. As it should be. As it
youth
should be.
Is wasted.
Right out of It's a Wonderful Life.
Yes,
yeah.
Sir.
Yes, like, sir. And I was, like you said, I was watching, sorry to get into the Bon Jovi, you know.
You're good.
Thing.
You can call him Jesus.
My God. I jokingly here at the house, whatever, because I'm such a huge fan or whatever. I always tell my son, well, that's Uncle Juan, and that's Uncle Ricardo. So, where John was talking about, they were rehearsing at the Meadowlands, and it hasn't been used in a number of years or whatever, so they rented it out for about 3 weeks to rehearse, and he's, like, running around a little bit, whatever. He goes, yeah, I used to do this and, you know, and that, whatever, and he goes, King's tired now, man. I'm walking. You know?
As long as I get to the spot, I'm okay.
Yeah, because you know, I mean, the dude's 60 now. You know, it ain't. You know, he's not in his even 30s anymore.
It's crazy, Bon Jovi's 60 now. Like, holy shit.
Yeah, I know.
Goddamn.
I know. Yeah, I mean, it's totally nuts when you think about it. It's the 40th anniversary of the band. You know, so it's gotten a lot of good reviews, though. You know,
of course it is. It's got a good no doubt that it will. It's going to do gangbusters.
And I think the coolest thing, too.
It's like the last dance of rock and roll.
Yeah, and John doesn't know where it's going to go from here because he had, last year or a year and a half ago, he was getting criticized big time about his vocals because his vocals were really bad.
Back then?
Like a year and a half ago or so. Well, what happened was that on his vocal cords, one of them was starting to get weaker. And so the other one was pushing on the other one. And, you know, there were some shows that were, I mean, he sounded bad.
Really bad, wow.
You know, and it turned out that he had to have surgery for it and everything. Oh. So he's been a year and a half of recovery.
He's ready to get back.
So he's ready to get back and everything, but he goes, if I can't be the best, I'm done.
I'm not doing it. Yeah, you can't.
I'm done. You know.
Which it makes sense. Why ruin my legacy? I'm good.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. So, but but yeah, if you guys can't get a catch it or whatever, so that's why we're doing that theme song today. And speaking of the theme songs, don't forget, guys, you can always get any of the music that we play on the show here on Amazon. Just go to our website, yourweeklydose.com, click on the Amazon banner, bookmark it, and shop to your heart's delight, because that's what we do. And when we need things, we always go to Amazon.
Yes, we do.
And we get delivered. And matter of fact, I just bought a new backpack and a other new bag or whatever from Amazon.
Well, Amazon rules the world, so, you know.
Yeah. And what was cool is I got the ones where it was delivered, like, the next morning.
That's one thing I love about L.A. If I order something or my mom orders something in Arkansas, it's going to be a couple of days. Out here, sometimes it could be next day. Or if you order at the right time, it could be same day.
The same day, yeah. And that's what I did.
Freaking awesome.
Yeah, because there was one bag I got. I wanted to try a backpack, and it was next day. And it said, arrives between 7 a.m. and 10 a.m. Mm-hmm. And I went, ooh. And it's 11:30 right now at night.
Yep.
Click.
That. Yep. Click
all right. That. And tried it. Didn't like it. The way things packed into it, you know. It's a great backpack, though. I could probably use it for other things. But I just, the way, because I use it for when I teach for my students and stuff. I just didn't like the way things were packed in.
Gotcha.
So I said, okay, well, let me go back to something I'm used to. So I found another bag. And it said, if you order today, should be there by between 5 and 10 o'clock. And I said, click. And by the time I got back from work, from teaching,
it was already there.
I asked Karen, my wife, I said, hey, by chance, did another package come in? She goes, oh, yeah, it's already upstairs on your desk. Awesome.
Amazon's awesome, man.
So got to use Amazon, baby. Just make sure you go to our website, click on the Amazon banner, and bookmark it.
And they still have the pig face steamer.
Do they really?
Yeah.
So if you guys go back to episode 23, when we talk about that, absolutely, man. So, well, we've done enough talking here, so let's do a different kind of talking and catch up real quick, because I think Paul's going to call here in about like 9 minutes. So let's do that. You're dropping everything today, aren't you? Gravity works.
Are you high?
It's the law. That was one of my favorite jokes from the great John Panette, where he goes, you know, they want me to go to the gym and stuff and like do push-ups. He goes, I don't do ups. I do downs.
Yeah. Get down. Boogie down.
Yeah. He goes, because
I'll double down.
Yeah, because he goes, because you know, the thing is gravity's the law. I obey the law. Dude. All right. Well, Steve, haven't seen you in 2 weeks, bud. What's been going on with you?
How you doing, brother?
Oh, not a lot. Just been, like, going to Knott's, you know, most days. Because now that I have a pass and I can get free food there, I try to go, you know, at least 4 or 5 times a week. You know, saving big bucks on buying food. So that's...
Oh, yeah. There you go.
Yeah. And then I've been watching this stupid trial thing. I was like, at first I was like, I don't want to watch anything. But then I thought, I'm going to keep my mind open and I'm going to listen to what's going on. I'm not going to sit there going, oh, that's stupid, or oh, that's right, or, you know, you're right, you're wrong. I'm not going to I don't do that. I just sit there and listen to it and listen to what everybody says.
I did the same thing during Watergate.
Yeah. So I don't know. It's interesting at times. It's stupid at times, yeah. Unfortunately. But I think it's a good exercise because a lot of times we make judgments about people and situations and stuff that goes on without knowing them.
Mm-hmm.
Indeed.
You know, you hear something here or hear something there and you form an opinion. You never even met this person. You've never even seen this person. And I think it helps to something that you think, well, this is what I'm doing and everything. It's good to, even though you know what you're going to do or think you know what you're going to do, you listen to everything about it from whatever side happens to be talking.
Yeah.
And you just listen. And it will make you think a little differently about how things are, because people are saying just weird things. People are going to jail because of stuff they did for a certain reason, a certain person and stuff. I don't want to get into that.
Yeah.
You know, and you go, you start thinking in mind, oh, that's terrible, terrible. But what you should really be thinking is, why?
Yeah.
What caused that? What was it that happened that made them be so that loyal person that they will go to jail?
Yeah.
You know, what is that? So that's what I'm listening for. That's what I'm trying to see. Just to... And now there's all this new stuff in Arizona is going on, and I'm not trying to be political or anything. I'm not, you know.
Yeah.
Are you good?
But it's a good exercise for me to listen to everybody, and there are always little things in what everybody says that do make sense. It may just be a few words out of everything, but you listen for that, and it's good to form an opinion without being so emotionally charged and, hey, buddy, 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 let's all agree what we're doing and, you know.
That's why I always loved it real quick. That's why I always loved it when certain reporters would go out and talk to certain people and they go, you know, they've already formed their own opinions based upon what news says or what they're believing.
Mm-hmm.
And then they go, well, have you read this? Well, no, I haven't. So how do you know?
Oh, that's common right now.
You know,
it's all social media. I saw it on TikTok. I saw it on this. I saw it on that. It's research.
And it's like, dude, you're being a follower. Do you think, you know?
That's the thing. Yeah. There was a couple of news people on last night who were talking about the fact that people just follow.
Yeah.
Because, you know, they're looking for whoever's going to express, maybe they have an inner something going on, and if somebody expresses that properly, the situation, good or bad, doesn't make a difference.
Yeah.
Some people want to be sheep.
Yeah.
They just want to be led, and it just takes someone who's willing to lead them, and they'll just follow in line.
And no matter what,
you can lead them off a bridge, it don't matter, you're leading me. So I'm
like Jonestown.
Yeah, man.
Yeah. How was your week, though?
It was good, man. Getting, like I said, getting ready to move into the new spot. we're working on, we got the live show coming on May 4th, so go to the website, sketchybudgetentertainment.com, or, you know, Google us. You can find us, get your tickets now, auctioning off the Shaq jersey, so getting that done, and working on a new sketch I showed y'all this morning, trying to get that done. So it's been a busy week, man. No complaints on my end. You know, I'm still still breathing, so that's a plus. That's a plus.
Nice.
Yeah, man. How was yours?
Busy this week, actually.
Busy's good.
Yeah. I've actually been updating my guitars lately.
Okay.
So speaking of, you know, the whole Bon Jovi thing, whatever, you know, Richie's always been an idol of mine. Mm-hmm. So I've got two guitars that I upgraded the pickups to what he has in his signature Fender.
Okay.
So I've got two of those, and one's in a regular Strat HSS guitar players know what I'm talking about. And then another one's in a Floyd Rose style, too.
Okay. Is there anything in a periwinkle?
Yes, there is, actually. Actually, no, not a periwinkle, but more of a Paisley.
Okay.
So, and that's going to be another guitar where I'm going to set that up. Kind of like a Clapton version, one's got noiseless pickups in it too. So, and look, I love this. So, been doing that, but then last 2 days though, I don't know why, but for whatever reason, my right ear there's been a ringing in my right ear.
Well, answer it.
Badoomch.
Just go, hello.
See what I do?
Yeah, padoom.
Yeah, yeah. Again, it says BW was here.
Hey, my man.
Yeah,
hey, you know, to B, baby.
Yeah, just a white version. Yeah. But no, it's weird. But it was like 2 days. It came out of nowhere, and so it's now subsided though, which is good. But it's like, damn, it was like almost piercing.
Oh, damn.
So I don't know where it came from or what, why, or how, or whatever. And I was thinking, if it was still there today, I'm going to go see, you know, a doctor about it or whatever. But no, it finally went away.
Well, thank God.
So, but yeah, I'm like,
doctor.
Yeah, exactly. And I haven't been, you know, in front of anything loud per se.
Huh.
Anything like that. You know, because I've been working on like some of my patches for guitars because we've got rehearsal coming up and we're auditioning singers. So. You know, I made sure all the volumes are decent volumes and not blaring in my ears going through headphones and stuff. But still, I'm just like, damn, what the heck is going on? You know,
I know I'm developing tinnitus in my ear.
Are you really?
Yeah. Well, in the military, I spent a lot of time on the flight line, man. So I spent a lot of time around jets, a lot of time around the engines and stuff.
Why is
so
that thing going up? Also?
No idea, man. It's being racist.
Turn that knob. There you go.
No, not that knob.
But yeah, man, tonight lately I've been like, I'll be chilling and then I'll hear a suction and then all of a sudden, and then it'll die out. I can still hear around me,
yeah.
But I will feel that suction and then I hear, and last night it hit me real bad. Like, I was just like, oh, that was louder than it's ever been.
You know? I heard something weird the other day because, like I said, I had that ringing there. And all of a sudden, I got the hiccups. And as I was doing that, I heard like a weird, like, flapping noise in my ear. Don't know what it was, you know, but almost like a fart, basically, just, you know, as I hiccuped.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm like, what the hell is that? I'm like, literally looking around, you know, for it and everything. And I was just like, holy crap. And then I hiccuped up again and realized it was my ear, you know, and I'm going, what the hell? It was just so awkward.
That's new. I've never heard such a thing before.
Yeah, neither did I, you know, and it was just really, really weird, really awkward or whatever. So I don't know, but we'll figure it out. Well, you know what, guys? Guess who we got on the phone with us?
Oh, what up, man?
Oh, absolutely. Our buddy, our pal, our friend, the man, the myth, the legend, Mr. Paul Preston.
You forgot to say stripper.
Oh, he's a good-looking man. He can do it, too.
Yeah. That's the myth.
No comment. No comment. Good to talk to you, brother. How you doing?
What's up, your weekly dose gang? How's it going on your end?
Good, brother. How are you doing?
Oh, you know, just trying to make a dollar.
Yes,
still
sir.
Living indoors, so far so good.
Yeah. That's awesome. I know last time we talked a couple of weeks ago, whatever, you announced that you were engaged and everything. Have you guys started to work on the arrangements for that?
Yeah. No, yes, I may have told you. I can't remember how much I regaled you with that last time, but she was kind enough to say yes, so she can plan.
Indeed.
I will help out, but I'm not going to impose it. Whatever she wants to do,
I will show up, and that's it.
Whenever needed,
I'll do whatever she wants me to do. But it's, I'm not going to impose anything. You're kind enough to say yes; it's all going her way. So, like I may have told you, I have an engagement ring.
Uh-huh.
So clearly, we're doing it how she wants.
Right. There you go.
She said, "Hey, look, I'm announcing I'm off the market. You're going to do the same." So that's. What we're doing.
Indeed.
Cool. Have you guys set a date yet, though, or no?
No. If I had money to put on it, I'd say we get married in a national park, but I don't know. She loves those places. We went to 13 of them during the lockdown when there was nothing else to do except the outdoors.
Right.
So those kind of mean a lot to us. I'd be curious to see. But
you guys, though. Right, that is totally you guys from all the pictures you posted and everything. Either that or that museum. That movie museum that we talked about one time.
Oh, the Academy Museum of Motion Pictures?
No. The other. Oh, that'd be good too, though. But the other one where they did all those westerns and stuff.
Oh, yeah. Well, there's a couple of them. There's Lone Pine. If you're ever going up the 395, go to the Lone Pine Film Museum. They shot like 300 westerns there you've never heard of.
Right.
Also, Django Unchained and Iron Man. So it's where he tests the.
Is that the one that's north of
Jericho Rocket?
Is that the one that's north of here? It's like an hour drive or 2 hour drive.
Yes, but also adjacent to Joshua Tree in Pioneertown is the Pioneertown Film Museum. Now, Pioneertown was built just to make westerns.
Right.
In fact, you still can't drive down the street. It's walking or horse only.
Yeah.
They filmed, what's that Aubrey Plaza movie? Ingrid Goes West. And everything else they shot out there is like a Tom Mix Western again that you've never heard of. I got to go online and just watch like one or two of these Westerns they put their heart into back in the day that kind of just went on a pile with 100 billion other of them. But movies are making them all. That'd be fun. On a horse, get married on a horse.
I'll dress up as a cowboy.
Me too.
Yeah.
I'll do it like a motherfucker.
I'll be security. I'll bring my guns and everything.
I could be the town drunk.
Yeah.
He normally is.
Festus Silva.
Oh, man. Well, listen, buddy, what we got going for movies?
Well, what do you want to talk about? Light or action movie?
Oh, let's do action.
Yeah, let's roll for some action.
Okay, well, I got to alert you to a movie that came out on April 5th and is already, like, struggling. So it might just be getting – I think it's streaming already. You know those windows are smaller and smaller. So, but you got to see Monkey Man.
I've heard that's really good.
Really?
Yeah, it's badass. Revenge action movie, straight bullseye in terms of, like, you killed my family. Now I'm going to kill all of you. You know, if it's familiar in that respect. But
that
it's set
awesome.
In a but it's set in a world that you maybe not know as well. You know, it's Dev Patel made it, so it's set in India, in a big city. I don't know if they mentioned the specific city. I can't recall. Either way, it's like, you know, this big Slumdog Millionaire type city with rich palaces and, you know, skyscrapers, and then like the slums, and all this action takes place in that whole world, which was new because it's a little different than like Bollywood, which shoots over there, but they're kind of just cheesy and, you know, they dance and stuff. This is like gritty John Wick type action. And a mix of characters you're not used to seeing in an action movie either. It's this visceral, at least. So, and oh, very satisfying. Just, you know, he's going to kill everybody. It's the best. But I think Amazon and Apple TV Plus, you can rent it already. So, but either way, if you can get to the theater, it's you know, it's big. It's produced by Jordan Peele, who continues to like amaze outside of the genre that put him on the map. You know, but and this is a new one. It's not even the horror stuff that he's directed three times, and Nope was kind of even sci-fi. But this is, you know, the straight up action. And Dev Patel, who I mentioned, if you may remember, he was the lead in Slumdog Millionaire. He was in Newsroom.
Lion.
Yeah. Yep. But he is he isn't exactly jacked up, but he looks good, and he learned what to do, and he shoots. It's his directorial debut. Like, I don't even know where any of this stuff is coming from
Wow.
him. And there's a real sense of place. It's just, you know, a place you don't want to be. So, yeah, it's fun. The slow crawl to get close to the people he needs to get his revenge on, pretending he's this guy and doing all this stuff. And do you know who Charlto Copley is?
No. Tell us.
My buddy Adam and I at the movie guys came up with a rule the other day, the Han Solo rule, because Star Wars is already the greatest movie you've ever seen. Right. Then Han Solo shows up, right? And so, wow. Superman did the same thing. We saw that recently. That movie's already in a great movie. And then Gene Hackman shows up. now, Charlto Copley is the lead actor in District 9, which I'm sure you guys have probably all seen.
Oh, yeah.
South African actor. But then he tends to just show up in movies where you don't expect him, and he's great in every single one of them. Free Fire, Maleficent, Hardcore Henry, which is a severely
awesome
underrated
movie.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Such
really
a great
good
movie, freaking right?
movie, man. Like, it's so underrated.
Big time. Yeah. And I thought maybe he'd go to higher celebrity status after he played Murdoch in A-Team.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's Liam right. Neeson. Yeah.
Yeah, but he's still, it's kind of fun that he's not so just like appearing in these hack movies. He shows up in stuff like this. And now, so that's a different rule of the Han Solo rule. As soon as you see Charlto Copley, even if it's early in the movie, you know, that part of the movie is going to be great.
Yeah.
Luckily, the whole movie is great. But Charlto showing up, it's always like, oh, this is going to be fun, because he is a unique actor, makes big choices, and he's fun to watch. And he's only a small supporting role here, but if somebody's on screen, you're like, oh, this guy's fun. He's like a guy who runs these fighting rings that the Monkey Man, he doesn't even have a name in the movie. I think he's just called The Kid or whatever. He goes in to, like, make money and getting to know people and work his way through this seedy underbelly of the city to get his revenge. So if this is the only time Dev Patel is in a movie like this, because he's got a varied career, you know, from TV to drama to, you know, all sorts of crazy stuff. This, he at least went all out. He went all out. So yeah, highly impressive. Dopey shit like Godzilla and Kong or whatever has made 16 times the movie that this movie has made. But keeping the budget low means he's going to win. It costs like $10 million. It's only made 30, but that's already went three times
the
budget.
Yeah, he's already winning as far as profit wise.
Yeah, a DC movie makes $30 million. It's a tremendous failure because they overspent. So this is entertaining as hell. Highly recommend it. Dev Patel, surprising. So there you go, check that one out. Monkey Man, you'll have satisfied revenge vibes.
Cool. There's been a lot of documentary. We were talking about the Bon Jovi documentary earlier, and I just saw another trailer. Ron Howard's coming out with one.
What is his documentary about?
Jim Henson.
Oh, yeah, I heard about that.
Yeah, coming out and everything.
Yeah, I just saw that last night. And they're using, like, real footage and stuff like that. It's, like, a real cool-looking show.
Yeah, exactly, and given the history of him. But there's one about Steve Martin, too. Do you know anything about that one?
There are two about Steve Martin. It's called Steve Martin, A Documentary in Two Pieces. Oh. It's two 90-minute films about Steve Martin, because if you think about his career, it's essentially two different careers. Like, he stopped doing stand-up, like, on a dime and switched to movies.
Right.
And so the first documentary is about the stand-up years. Yeah, and then Saturday Night Live and all that kind of stuff. And the second is just Steve Martin, movie star, and then all the other things, and now TV star, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And these are different documentaries. Same director, Morgan Neville. He made 20 Feet from Stardom and Won't You Be My Neighbor. I think he won an Oscar for Stardom. But so, yeah, it pays to make them each have a different feel to them. The first one, the stand-up one, is actually less funny.
Wow.
But Steve Martin is also a guy you may know if you're a fan. Like, I'm a huge fan. Is a guy we just never got close to. You know, it's kind of, it wasn't his thing to be like, here's my comedy. Even his stand-up was never about, you know, I got this girlfriend who blah, blah, blah. You know, he did these prepared pieces of, like, absurdist comedy and delivered them.
Right.
Which is a kind of comedy I really like and one I emulate, I think, a lot of my own stand-up whenever I get out there. You know, there's a lot to be said for going, you know, oh, yeah, like, if I could do a whole thing, I get engaged, you know, or whatever. But I kind of like just the delivery of a piece of comedy. And so in getting that, you never find out things like his father wasn't very supportive. You know, he gave himself a deadline for success. You know, he had this love life he never heard about. He heard about Victoria Tennant, the girl from LA Story and All of Me that he married. But you never heard about anybody else. So now he's currently married and he's got a kid, you know, which is a late in life thing that he decided to get involved in. So all these things are kind of new, and I was excited to hear about all of it. And just to have him open up, I mean, he does a monologue about working with John Candy that just is very emotional.
Wow.
You know, it's not even a monologue. He's just like going through his stuff, and he's talking about this, making that movie, and he just, you know, got emotional, as you can imagine.
Did, in this documentary, I know that in other interviews that he's done in the past and everything, where he's always talked about working at Disneyland, you know, in the magic shop. But does he ever, in this document, does he ever reveal how he learned to play the banjo?
Boy, that's a fair question. I can't actually recall. Yeah, because if you want the story of the birdcage, and I still, when I go to shows there, you know, reach up and put my hand on his photo as I go in for good luck.
Yeah.
And Disneyland as well. Yeah, that's in his book, Born Standing Up, and he goes into it here as well. But the stuff like the banjo, he talks about the banjo and he goofs on kind of playing it a little bit.
Yeah.
But I can't remember it's in there.
That's, yeah, one thing that's always interests me, or has always amazed me, I guess, about Steve Martin is that, you know, the credit is there for Disneyland, but yet there's very little credit for Knott's, for him being at Knott's Berry Farm, which he did after he left Disneyland.
Oh.
Yeah, either way, he talks about seeing Wally Bogue, I think, in both locations.
I didn't know.
Yeah.
There's footage of Wally Bogue, which I never knew as well, at the horseshoe,
uh-huh,
in this movie. So I just never knew that was out there either. So
yeah,
I thought that was cool.
Because I know the man, or knew the man, who taught him how to play banjo.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh, cool. What's his name?
Yeah, I knew you were going to ask me that.
That's why he said new.
Yeah, new. New. Well, Steve knew him too, though.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Oh? Yeah, you did.
I did?
No, not you.
I did.
Steve did.
No, Steve did. I'm doing Steve. I did. What did I know?
He was the head of the stuntmen.
Bowman?
No, not Bowman. No.
Oh,
I can't think of his name right now. Anyway, yeah, great radio.
Well, the only ones I remember named Bowman, Jay, and
No. Their boss.
Harvey?
Harvey. There you go. God, what was Harvey's last name, though?
Harvey. I don't know, but referred to his daughter as Still.
Yeah, Still, exactly.
Because no matter what she looked like, she was beautiful.
She was. She's a gorgeous gal.
Yeah.
Anyway... Harvey was one of the guys who was one of the original train bandits for Knott's Berry Farm. Harvey Walker. That's
Harvey
who
Walker,
it is.
Yeah.
Harvey Walker. And he also played bluegrass. And he also, his band would every once in a while play at the wagon camp.
Oh.
And this is when the park started to really thrive.
Yeah.
And Harvey was very, very close friends with the Knott family. So it was during that time period when they brought the Birdcage Theater over, they needed actors. Steve Martin auditioned and got to be a part of that troupe, basically, of doing all those melodramas at Knott's Berry Farm. So Harvey got approached by Steve Martin, and he wanted to learn to play banjo because that's what Harvey played, was a bluegrass banjo. He said, "That's fine. I'll teach you, but you got to teach me sleight of hand." Because Steve Martin learned all of that at Disneyland working in the magic shop. So they traded traits,
cool.
basically. And that's and that story, I was told, by Harvey Walker himself.
Oh, wow.
And so, but it's interesting that Steve has really never mentioned that in any interviews or in or anything, you know, that I've seen him do. You know, occasionally he'll mention Knott's, but it's always Disney, you know, kind of a thing. So that's why I was kind of curious about this documentary, like if that is really
went into it,
if that's ever mentioned on it, So there you go. So a little bit of history.
I think there's a little more documentary in the second. I'm sorry, documentary. There's a little more banjo in the second documentary.
Okay.
Later in life, you know, playing it, staying happy, doing so. You know, I mean, it's there in the clips from his early years, but I don't know if he's talking much. In fact, he barely shows up in the first doc. There's a lot of voiceover.
Oh, really?
It's a lot of archival stuff, and so it's a unique choice then for the later in life Steve Martin to show up on screen, and then Martin Short shows up, and they like do a lot of joke writing for their show, and it's just hilarious. I mean, that's the funniest part of the whole doc. It's the two of them just sitting around. You know, this wasn't in the doc, but it's one of my favorite jokes when I saw them live. You know, like they've got this new thing where they just rip each other, which is hilarious. You know,
they're good in a show.
Being friends with what's that?
They're really good in the show.
How great that he's a TV star.
Yo, it was so awesome when I found that show, and I was like, yo, Martin Short is back on TV. Like, it was, I was loving it, man. It's a fun show.
And that show's a good mystery.
Yes,
so, like,
is.
You know,
really
they can do all the, they can be all the funny they want because they've got an interesting story told well with, like, you know, creative flashbacks and great monologues and all this other stuff within the mystery, and then they just get to be hilarious on top of it. But yeah, things like, you know, being friends with Steve is like Deliverance. It's all fun and games until the banjo comes out, you know. Like that one's not in the movie, but there's tons of crap like that. I mean, I just remember that from when I saw them live.
That's funny.
Martin Short. You know, and I never thought I'd see Steve Martin do stand up because he did literally just stop back in the 80, like very early 80s or late 70s. And but if you go see Steve Martin and Martin Short, Steve kind of comes out and opens the show, you know, with like 9 minutes by himself before Marty gets out there and says, like, wow, I'm just watching Steve Martin do stand up. And then one day I saw him at the Walt Disney Concert Hall with the Steep Canyon Rangers playing. It was all bluegrass show. There wasn't even any comedy, except that in between every song, it's kind of like Steve Martin doing stand-up, introducing the song, telling stories and talking about it. And then he closed with a bluegrass version of King Tut, which I never thought I'd see.
Oh, my gosh. Wow.
You know, so like this renaissance that he feels within himself is exciting. And I think this doc shows that. That well, that he's just like still loves this stuff, and we're all the better for it.
Awesome. Well, looking forward to seeing it. Where can we find that documentary right now?
Apple TV Plus.
Okay.
It's an original of theirs. Yeah. So that it never even made it to theaters, but you can go watch it now. And it's, you know, it's not horribly cinematic or anything. I think you'll just enjoy watching it all. And, you know, it's partly emotional too. So it's funny and it's emotional and it's, you know, if he didn't open up. It's good that he opens up at this part of his life anyway. You know, if you ever saw him on an old talk show with, like, Dave Letterman, the bits were just flying, you know, like, show, you know, he'd show a clip from his movie, but he'd have, like, a pointer, and he'd walk out, and he'd, like, do a, you know, examination of the scene, or he'd do a magic trip, and let's see how I did that, Dave, and they'd show it back slow motion, but in the slow-mo replay, he's, like, taping flags to the cards and stuff. Like, he's one of the greatest ghosts. He's one of the greatest guests of all time. He always came with bits, but you never talked about, like, the personal stuff, and you get that now. And I think at this age, it makes for even a better interview because he's reflective and he's not afraid to open up.
That's cool. Like, one of my favorite bits that he did was on with Carson, and he came out and did the Great Flydini.
The greatest thing ever. And he talks about
it.
Oh, my God. That is so good. So good. Have you seen that?
Long time ago.
Oh, my God. That is so good. I mean, and the thing is, it still works today.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, if somebody masters that bit and goes out and does it, you're going to get laughs on it no matter what.
He used to just, like, do it at parties, you know? And so they have clips of, like, other versions of it before it hit The Tonight Show.
Wow.
Which is fun to watch, too. Yeah, there's a lot of never-before-seen stuff in this.
Oh, that's cool. I'm looking forward to it. Okay, I got to get Apple TV.
Definitely see those.
Cool. All right. Well, thank you, Paul. Appreciate it, buddy, as always. So we get to see Monkey Martin and Steve Men.
And Steve Men.
And exactly. Steve Men.
Steve
Men. Yeah, exactly. So go catch both of those. And have fun.
Speaking
with
of Steve, is he just around again? Are you on an ISDN line from another state?
No, I'm actually here in the room.
Oh, good.
Yeah. Anytime, the guys, one of the guys or whatever is out, Steve always fills in.
Good man. He's a good man.
He's always available. Thank God. So he's got nothing else to do.
That's for sure.
I will leave you now, but I will return in the summer season, which really starts at the beginning of May. Like, next week, we get the Fall Guy, and I'm stoked. So that's got my comedy boyfriend, Ryan Gosling, in it, and David Leitch, like one of the best action directors around. Mm-hmm. It's going to be awesome. So, yeah, we're just about to get in it. Next thing you know, we'll have, like, Mad Max on our hands, and we'll have ourselves a summer. So,
looking forward to it, buddy.
Mm-hmm. All right.
All right, have a good one, my friend. Take care of yourself.
Enjoy your day, brother.
Farewell, all.
All right.
Bye, Paul.
Always good to talk to him.
No problem, man.
You know, we were talking earlier, too, whatever. Like, we're talking about the documentary I've been watching on the History Channel regarding the food that created America. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's like it's so interesting to see how something got created.
Yeah.
You know, into what it is now.
Especially when it's something you know.
That you grew up with.
Grew up with and you've had intimate knowledge of. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. And like we were talking about some of the candies and stuff. We were talking about like how Skittles got created by Mars. Mm-hmm. You know, and the thing is, Skittles came out. Can you guess what year Skittles came out?
I'm going to say the 40s.
Earlier or sooner,
the '20s?
No, well, I should say no. Don't go far away. Go the other way.
So the '20s?
Mm-mm.
Before that?
No, way after that.
Oh, the '70s?
Getting closer.
85.
82.
God damn, for real.
82 is when Skittles came out.
Wow.
But it seems like they've been around forever.
Yes, forever. Wow. I was only, I was a child when they came out, but
I was 12.
They've always been in my life. I was four.
Yeah.
So, I've always,
Exactly.
I was 32.
So how cool was Jesus? Well, what was he really like?
He was a cool guy to hang out with.
They washed his feet all the time because they were really dirty. He just wore those weird sandals. He kept saying,
I tried to help him. He wouldn't listen.
He had to have
I told him don't listen to Judas.
I love all his songs. Oh, man. Well, today is also National Poem Day. So what we decided to do was basically give you a little bit different type of class and culture here and do a mixture of something. So so Lyric is going to read you some very elegant poetry with some funny music behind it. Or is it the other way around? I can't remember what we did. But anyway, we're going to let Lyric do his thing, though.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to poetry.
It's poetry time. It's poetry time.
It's poetry time. Oh, here's the tale of Marcus Spout, who wears his suit coat inside out. It isn't custom, he's declining. It's just that he adores the lining. Thank you. I have a little frog. His name is
Steve
Tiny.
Steve is just already. I'm sorry.
I put him in the bathtub to see if he could swim.
Mm-hmm.
He drank up all the water and gobbled up the soap. And when he tried to talk, he had a bubble in his throat. Do you like that one, Steve?
Steve is so intrigued
what
right now.
What the hell is going on? I think somebody's playing a joke on me. What?
Little boy blue.
please cover your nose. You sneezed on Miss Muffet and ruined her clothes. You sprayed Mother Hubbard, and now she is sick. You put out the fire on Jack's candlestick. Your nose is the reason why Humpty fell down. You drenched Yankee Doodle when he came to town. The blind mice are angry. The sheep are upset. From now on, use a tissue so no one gets wet. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. A young psychic midget named Marge went to jail on a serious charge. But despite lock and key, that lady broke free. And the news said, small, medium, at large.
That's an oldie. I love that one.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. There was a young girl from Madras. No, okay. Rewind. There was a young girl from Madras who had an adorable ass. Not pink, not rounded and pink, as you'd probably think. It was gray, had long ears, and ate grass. And that concludes Poetry by Your Daily Dose.
Humor.
That music really goes with it, though, doesn't it?
Music actually went really good with it, yeah. Steve was looking at me like, man, what the fuck is wrong with you? is he okay?
Oh, man.
That was actually funny. I like
that was really funny. So it's also, we were talking about it earlier because of our theme song. It's National Superhero Day. And, of course, you know, there's so many superheroes.
So many superheroes.
Real and comic-wise and everything as well. As a little kid, whatever, what superhero did you?
When I was growing up, it was Wolverine.
Really?
And then I modeled my music alter ego after the Incredible Hulk. So he's the lyrical Hulk. So then it became the Hulk. If it was real world, though, and I had to choose somebody, yeah, I'd be Batman.
Dude, you're right up my alley, brother.
I'd be Batman. As long as you get Batman time, he can beat anything. I'm good.
Yeah.
Get Batman prep time, you're fucked.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
I got prep time. Give me a couple hours. You're fucked.
You're screwed. Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, it'd be Batman.
Yeah. How about you, Steve?
I wasn't into, like, the superhero comic stuff, but I was into the Crypt Keeper.
Oh, really?
You're saying you would be the Crypt Keeper?
You know, he had kind of a special power over death, I guess. But yeah, that's what I liked the most when I was a kid reading comic books was the Crypt Keeper. Tales from the Crypt.
That's a different kind of superhero.
Yeah, no. For real. I don't know if that counts, brother. It's not a superhero, really. But I get you, his power would be he's immortal because the dude can't die. So
yeah,
I guess that is kind of a superpower.
Yeah.
What would you be?
Mm-hmm. Same as you. I mean, straight hit Batman. Batman. Because, I mean, growing up, we were talking about reruns earlier in the pre-meeting. You know, I grew up watching Adam West and Burt Ward, you know, from 66.
OG Batman, baby.
Yeah.
And zap.
Pow. You know.
Wham.
And where my grandmother didn't have any blue towels, so she had a yellow one, so I always was Robin.
Word.
And I was shorter than some of the other kids, too. So, you know,
it worked.
Kind of defaulted, you know, that I was Robin, you know. And they would play with me. We would, you know, react, you know, the Batman TV show and pow, and pretend to hit each other and stuff and what have you and everything. So, I always liked the fact that Batman had no superpowers.
He's a normal-ass dude. He just uses...
His brain.
Yeah, he uses his brain. And he's a normal dude. He's at the peak of human endurance, obviously. But no, he's a normal-ass dude who's just got a stupid-ass amount of cash. And he uses his brain to outsmart everybody.
Yeah, and that's just it. You know, and that was the thing that I liked about him. You know, and then you go into the origin story. And that was one thing I think, too, you know, comparing the... I guess the different movies that have been made or whatever, you know, it's like when The Dark Knight came out, it's like, okay, they kind of still told it a little bit better, you know, than the original 89 one with Michael Keaton, which I still love, though. But I would just love to see a movie called Wayne and just show him through all the different stages of the things he learned.
From the time his parents got killed up until he's
actually
on the
scene. Actually picking it up after his parents got killed.
Like what I'm saying, like right after his parents get killed up until he finally decides to die.
Yeah, and the comic books cover it, you know, really nicely, you know, where he goes off to with this detective and learns how to become a good detective, you know, and everything. And then learning, and here's one cool thing too that I really enjoyed about the animated series is that they kind of cover all those little things, so you know why he became the world's greatest, or is known as the world's greatest detective. Mm-hmm. You know, but in the movies, everybody else figures it out for him.
Yeah, the last movie, that's what happened. Like, he really didn't, like, he showed up and he was doing stuff, but you wasn't really being a detective, dude. You was doing other shit. Everyone else was really figuring shit out for him.
Yeah, exactly. And that was one thing I really didn't like about it, you know. I mean, the casting was great, you know.
And I like Robert Pattinson. Like, he's, like, people hate on him, but dude is actually a really good actor.
Oh, yeah.
He's actually a really, really good actor.
Yeah, and, you know, it's separate from the Dark Knight trilogy and everything and so forth.
Everything. Yeah,
you know, which is cool, and it shows him when he's younger. But, again, it's, I think, the only actor that has gotten both characters right, because they're two individual characters, is Michael Keaton, because he understood the difference between Bruce Wayne
and Batman.
And Batman, you know.
You know my favorite Batman? Ben Affleck.
Oh yeah.
He's my favorite. Because I like his version of Batman. His version is the old one. He's been there and done it. I would have liked to see him play more Bruce Wayne. I'd have liked to see his different personalities.
I think he's another one that did a good Bruce Wayne, too.
He did really good. I like
him. Yeah, I really enjoyed it, you know. And I always thought that he would do well when they announced that he was going to become Batman, because I saw him do Daredevil. As many people don't like, I enjoyed it myself. You know, as far as how he portrayed the character and everything, you know. And
dude, face it, it sucked.
Think with the ever-present optimism.
Really?
Hey, it's something I just tell it like it is.
I enjoyed
it. You just got to rip the Band-Aid off, man.
Yeah. But I enjoyed it overall, you know, for what it is, you know, and how he portrayed the characters. You know. Now, I really did enjoy the miniseries or whatever that was, like, what was it on? Because they brought the character, they redid that, the Daredevil TV.
The TV show was the shit.
Yeah, that was really good, too.
Hopefully they do that the right way. Because they're coming back out with that one, but they fucked it up so far. So
yeah, and I love the fact, too, that they brought that character from the TV show into the Marvel Universe.
Oh, yeah, and he's doing the new, like, he is the new Daredevil again.
Yeah, yeah, and where, because they brought him in with Spider-Man. And She-Hulk, yeah. But they brought him in Spider-Man first. It was in No Way Home. Because he plays Peter Parker's attorney.
Yeah, yeah, he did. He did show up.
Yeah, so, which is really cool.
What was it, DC or Marvel, they did Spider-Pig?
DC, that was Marvel.
Marvel.
Da-doom-tsh.
He's going for something. I don't know what it is. He's on his own trip right now.
Spider pig. Spider. Ooh, pork chops.
My man.
Yeah.
It is like BW is still here. It's the same thing.
Yeah.
I dig it. I dig it.
Nobody watches The Simpsons?
No.
Oh, Homer does a thing where he's Spider pig.
I've seen it. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. Oh, good.
So, but no, that's who I would pick, though. You know, but yeah, that's why. Because you look at all the stuff he's got. I mean, he's got all the cool gadgets, all the
Batman
cool cars.
Is the truth, man. Batman is the truth. He's the greatest superhero.
Yeah, and he can take out the entire Justice League.
Yeah, oh yeah, Batman. Again, given enough prep time, Batman will destroy anything.
Yeah,
you give him enough time to work it out. He's good. He's done. You're done.
Yeah.
Yeah, Batman's the truth, man.
And he's a no-holds-barred kind of guy, you know. Yeah. Like, there's a really good one, animated movie. Because as I'm going to say it this way, as weak as the live actions have been overall,
mm-hmm.
the people who do the animated movies have been doing a fantastic job.
Yeah, because they can go there. Like, they can go further. And they just don't have as many restraints as the...
Well, also, who would have ever thought you're going to see a rated R Batman animated movie?
Well, yeah. But the same kids who grew up watching those cartoons are now... We're now adults. And we like that shit. And that's why you see it now.
Yeah. And there's a good one called Justice League Doom. And it's where, basically, the Justice League is being attacked because... Mirror Master, one of the criminal guys, is able to sneak into the Batcave.
Ooh.
And he steals files.
I'm about to catch that because I haven't seen that one.
Oh, it's good, dude. It's good. He steals files because Bruce has all these different files on how to take down every single Justice League member, past and present. In case they ever went rogue. That was the purpose of it.
Yep.
You know, and Vandal Savage, who's at the whole thing of this project to take down the Justice League, enhances some of them.
Of course.
You know, to basically kill them instead of just bringing them down, kind of a thing. And, of course, at the end of the movie, Justice League is pretty upset that Bruce would do all this.
That information, of course.
And you know.
It's Batman, though. What do you expect?
And his whole thing is look, he goes, it's possible that one of us could have mind control, or taken over by this or by that.
And you need to know how to handle it.
And you need to know how to do it. You know, and if you guys don't think about that, then all of you are idiots.
Again,
gee, sounds like a movie.
That's why he's Batman. That's why he's Batman.
Exactly. Exactly. So, yeah, I mean, that whole thing. And I got into the comics, believe it or not until I was in college.
Now, we collect the comics. My brother and my father used to collect them when I was little. So we still got a big, nice little collection.
Okay. Yeah.
But we're big into Conan.
Oh, okay.
Conan was our shit. Like, Conan was our shit.
Yeah. Yeah. See, for me, I never was a comic guy until a friend of mine took me to a comic book store. And because he said, hey, can we stop by real quick? And I said, sure. And I see a poster of Robin there, but it's a completely different outfit than the traditional.
The Nightwing joint, or was it?
No, it's the Tim Drake version.
Gotcha.
And I said, oh, wow, that's kind of cool. They changed Robin's costume or whatever. He goes, well, they had to because the last one died. I went, what? They killed Dick Grayson? He goes, no, they killed Jason Todd. What? They killed Wait, who's Jason Todd? I had no knowledge, no nothing or whatever, and that started me going down the rabbit hole. And I've collected all the different comic books of all those moments that have changed the history or whatever of the Batman characters.
Yeah, man, you go buy comics, you buy two.
Oh, yeah.
You keep one as a collector, you read the other one.
I've got four boxes full.
Yep.
You know, man. So, like, when certain series came out or whatever, like Nightfall and stuff like that, I have all the originals.
I have Spawn 1.
I have the first Spawn.
And just like everyone else, I didn't buy it. My older brother bought it, but The Death of Superman.
Oh, yeah.
Like when The Death of Superman came out in New York, dudes were selling that shit on the street corner.
Yeah.
They literally had packs of unopened, because they all came in the black joint. And it came with the Superman armband and the Superman, a whole bunch of stuff. And it was a black bag. And it had dudes street corner. Literally, they was on the street corner selling that shit for $10, $15 a pop back in the 90s. I remember that shit.
Yeah.
Like, yo.
Yeah. It's amazing or whatever.
Yeah,
but mine would be Batman as well. So, So you got two Batman and the Crypt Keeper.
It's a hell of a combo, man.
That's a hell of a combo.
It's a hell of a combo. Hell yeah.
Absolutely, man. Okay. Well, you know what? Today is also... do we have that? Yeah, we do. It's Babe Ruth Day.
Ah.
And of course, I figure what better person...
The Babe.
...to have on the phone... than our dear friend, Gabe Braxton, who is our our local expert almost in everything here.
Gabe
so,
Braxton.
There we go with our Babe Ruth facts. So, are you there, Gabe?
Hello?
Hey, how are you, buddy?
What's going on, Gabe?
Man, I'm feeling no pain.
Why? Well, why is that?
I just, you know, a little bit of the wacky weed, I guess you might say.
Ah, you're still doing that, huh?
Oh, still, yeah. I haven't stopped in 34 years. So.
But he's not a quitter, so.
I knew it'd be legal someday. Anyway, like you say, today is that Babe Ruth Day. And you see, Babe Ruth, well, he was born with the name George Herman Ruth. Herman, is he a Munster? I don't know. Anyway, that was on February the 6th, 1895.
Uh-huh.
Now, he is one of the most recognized athletes and has the most nicknames, including the Babe, Baby Huey, the Sultan of Swan. I like that one. Oh, and the Emperor of Hot Dogs, the Great Bambino, the Gentle Bambino. The King of Crash, the Queen of the Back Door, the Colossus of Clout, the Wizard of Whack, and Jack Dunn's Baby.
There are several of those I've never heard. I'm getting very educated today.
Oh, well, you know.
Very educated with a lot of things.
Very educated with a lot of things.
This is really cool. Although he's best remembered for swatting a remarkable 714 home runs.
Yeah.
Hitting on 4,200 women.
Mm-hmm.
Drinking 5,974 bottles of vodka. Eating 10,647 hot dogs.
God damn.
13,840 boxes of Cracker Jack.
Who kept these numbers?
Never caring when he'll get back to the weight he actually started as a pitcher first.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, how do they figure out all these stats?
Oh, they just come to me.
I feel you, baby.
They probably have the receipts.
One of the things people don't know about him is that he got his love of baseball while attending an all-girls Catholic school.
Oh, really?
That's a fact.
Yeah.
Yeah,
he was sent to a Catholic school because he was such a bad boy.
That's
so they sent to an all-girls Catholic school.
Yeah.
He's a bad boy.
That's the way it is.
Man.
He also, at that same facility, he also began his love of hot-looking nuns, stalking, playing hide the candy bar, and pin the rosary on the priest.
Wow.
That's very rousing. Now he did not retire as a New York Yankee, but rather returned to Boston as a washed-up baseball player who opened up his own local bar. I think it was called Baby Something.
Would it be Baby Ruth?
He wanted some place where everybody knows their name. And we'll never be forgotten.
Understood.
And people will
where everybody
talk
knows
about
his name.
Him even after he's dead.
Understood. Where everybody knows your name.
Yeah.
He is dead.
Several decades ago, yes. I would assume so.
Oh. Well, you know.
No, we don't. Tell us, please.
Please tell me, sir.
Anyway, he made his major league debut at Fenway Park on July 11th.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Up on the one side.
The green monster.
Someone that pitched there. It was on July 11th, 1914.
How old was he when he made his debut, Gabe?
He was born in 1895.
Yeah, do the math, Gabe.
And this
Damn,
was
it was 19.
1914.
Since 19 years old. Hello, he's at 1895?
Yeah.
She's 14 years old. Holy shit. No, 19 years old.
No, he was...
19. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
He was old enough.
You want to just pick up where you left off?
The great thing was that every year they would have a big ceremony at Fenway Park.
Uh-huh.
And,
yes, he did.
Wow, really?
Where the hell am I? Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, the ceremony was like at the beginning of the season, and he would be, you know, in the big green monster.
The monster?
Oh, dear God.
It's a monster.
Yeah.
Monster.
There's like windows and there's a door.
Uh-huh. Really?
And he would come out of the door, run out onto the field, look around, and then head into the dugout and disappear. And if he saw his shadow, that would mean that there would be 6 more weeks of spring drinking.
So he was also the groundhog as well. Babe Ruth is, you know,
oh, yeah,
he's very
accomplished. That was one of his nicknames, the groundhog. The ground.
I had no idea Babe Ruth was so accomplished, and he has so many different feats in his life.
Oh, actually, he invented pizza.
Really?
Now, Ruth's first major league home run came against the Yankees at the Polo Grounds, where 2 horses had to be put down after being struck with the ball. That's how he got to be the Wizard of Whack. His batting average was 690, and his ERA was 0.0.
No,
it was 3.141592653
It was pie?
It goes on after that, but yeah.
It's bad average. Now
he made his last official major league appearance with the Dodgers.
What year was this, sir?
Well, hell if I know.
I was waiting
anyway,
on 95.
What he did was he put on a uniform and was the first base coach.
That was like 1936, something like that.
He also went up in the stands and was a hot dog vendor. Oh, I'd like to see him right now. I got the munchies so bad. Anyway, he also threw peanuts, and in a strange, nobody knows why he did it, probably because he was old.
Durr.
He ate the San Diego chicken. Barbecue right out onto the field.
Oh my God.
And ate the chicken.
Lit it and called the chicken over. You know, the chicken, he's pretty obliging. So he walked over. And next thing you know, Ruth had him in a headlock holding over the barbecue. Oh, they had the
sounds
whole thing on
tragic.
Video.
Yeah, sounds, they even recorded it.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Yeah. What they record it on?
I think it was a Tuesday.
I'm done, man. I'm
done. Well, listen, I gotta go.
You do.
I got a newbie, so you guys be cool.
You too,
good
Gabe.
Thanks,
Gabe. Appreciate it, bud.
I had no idea Babe Ruth was so accomplished. He was a marvelous individual. Wow.
Yeah, actually, when I was looking up certain things.
Everything you never knew you needed to know about Babe Ruth.
Indeed.
Yeah.
Indeed.
There was actually a list of 99 things that he accomplished or whatever.
He invented pizza. That's so pretty cool, man.
Yeah. You never know.
That's why he had the
big belly, I feel.
Beer and pizza.
Yeah, exactly. Well, should we do what's news, guys?
Indeed.
All right, let me find the button here for it. And I can't. And there it is. There we go.
What's news, Pussycat?
Whoa, 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 whoa.
What's news, Pussycat?
Whoa, 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 whoa.
So, all right.
You want to go first?
Yeah, you know, I love these stories like this. First one here is a stolen forklift leads police on an hour-long chase.
On a forklift?
On a forklift.
How the fuck are they chasing for an hour on a forklift?
Yeah. Okay.
Well, this is how it opens, guys. A 12-year-old boy.
Okay. Oh, dear.
He's 12.
A 12-year-old boy has been placed in juvenile detention after he stole a forklift truck and led police on an hour-long chase in Michigan. The boy, only identified as Ann Arbor, as an Ann Arbor local due to his age, stole a Construction Genie GTH-636 telehandler at the 4th Middle School last week, the Ann Arbor Police Department said. Authorities also stated that the boy hit 10 parked vehicles.
Holy fuck.
During the pursuit, which happened after officers responded to a call reporting an attempt to steal the truck was found, and found him driving the vehicle, which weighs up to 35,000 pounds, without any lights.
So they couldn't pull him over while they couldn't make him. He's 12 years old on a forklift.
You couldn't exactly?
I don't know.
I understand what you're trying to
say. You couldn't have exactly...
Or exactly.
Picked it.
Well, depending on the forklift, it is. You just run up beside it and pick his little ass out of it, depending on how it is.
Yeah, you could.
Unless it's enclosed, but forklifts aren't that fast, man.
No, but they go a little faster than you would want to run.
Yeah.
I feel you, but...
Well, multiple officers initiated a pursuit of the vehicle at speeds between 15 and 20 miles per hour with emergency lights and sirens on. During the pursuit, the driver of the stolen vehicle traveled through the Georgetown Boulevard neighborhood, striking approximately 10 parked vehicles. Police stopped chasing the boy after 30 minutes as he drove across the M14 bridge.
Oh, wow.
And thankfully, no injuries occurred during the chase, though.
But,
hey, where in the hell did he get the keys, though?
How did you, like...
Those should have been locked up somewhere.
Yeah, he should have never had... That whole situation is fucked up for multiple reasons.
Yeah.
That whole joint is... That's wow.
And not only that, but what the hell is a 12-year-old boy doing out that late?
I can guarantee you that at some point in this fiasco, a cheerleader was involved.
Most likely. All right. A Georgia man is giving a new meaning to porch pirate after a recent arrest. Now, according to this report, a man named Robin Swanger. That's right. His name is Robin Swanger.
He ain't no Batman.
Hell no. Was arrested for stealing a neighbor's porch from the front yard. And yes, he stole the whole porch. It was 8 feet by 10. It was an 8 by 10 foot porch. And dude took the whole porch.
He ripped it from the house?
The house had not. The house had been removed from the lot, but the property owner says the porch was not up for grabs. So they took the house, but they didn't take the lot. I'm guessing it must have been a trailer.
Wow. Huh. Okay.
So it was just a porch to nowhere in the middle of an empty lot covered in no trespassing signs. The owner of the porch said it was not up for grabs, even though they moved the home off the lot. During the investigation, the porch reappeared on the lot but was upside down. Police were looking for Swinger for days in relation to the investigation. They found him when they got a call to his residence on a domestic abuse situation. He was arrested for the porch theft and also charged for 2 counts of domestic violence. Yo, hold on. So he was like, I need a new porch. So he took.
Let's see what is out there.
There's one.
I want to drive around the neighborhood.
So it was an empty porch, but it was an empty lot with just stairs going up to nowhere beside his house, and he just took them.
Yeah.
I bet this is in a very small.
That's kind of a story we had a while back. I think we had something where. a guy had his yard landscaped, and he woke up in the morning, and everything was gone.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Remember that?
I remember that one.
Oh, man. Okay, well, look, I got something here.
What you got, Steve?
You know that old... That old adage, if this vehicle's rocking, don't come a knocking. Well, this kind of fits in this category here. And surprisingly, this story is not coming out of Florida.
Wow.
Usually, a lot of these, it's like most of them are from somebody in Florida. Okay. Theodore T. Morganville III is a 55-year-old man from Arkansas.
Oh, shit.
Damn. Well, apparently...
Does it say what part?
The police were investigating a rocking vehicle. Somebody saw it was moving. Well, what they discovered inside was Morgavan having sex with a stuffed animal.
Oh, my God.
Now, in case you were wondering, there's no word on what kind of animal it was.
You must
be proud, man.
Or it was a poo bear, or you don't know. But
are there armadillos in Arkansas?
A stuffed animal.
Maybe okay. A Wolverine.
God, yo. Fuck Arkansas.
Now, the question, I guess, that came up was that were the drugs potentially belonging to the stuffed animal?
Oh, my God.
A deputy with the Baxter County Sheriff's Office then searched the vehicle and found a purse containing two marijuana pipes and one syringe, along with 3 grams of methamphetamine. So Morgavan, who pleaded not guilty, is facing multiple charges, including possession of a controlled substance, methamphetamine, furnishing, possessing, or using prohibited articles, possession of drug paraphernalia, and public sexual indecency with someone of the stuffed species.
I have to be from Arkansas. It could have been from Louisiana.
I wonder how big the stuffed animal was.
Big enough for him to fuck. Big enough for him to fuck up.
All he needed was a little hole.
That's all he needed. The eye work.
That's, yeah.
Badoom. Well done. As soon as he said Arkansas, I was like, shh.
Oh, God. My nephew and his wife are going to move to Arkansas this year.
Yeah?
Yeah, they got three kids actually live
there.
What
part?
Kind of up around Bentonville, because one or two of them work for Walmart, corporate Walmart.
Yeah, so it makes sense to move to Bentonville.
So, yeah, they're moving there. They have grandkids there and stuff. You know, and
Walmart has, they totally transformed Bentonville. I haven't been there, but I heard it's nice.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Hmm. Oh, well, there you go, guys. That is what's new.
What's new? What's a cat? Whoa, whoa, whoa. What's new?
Whoa, whoa, pussycat, pussycat, I love you. Yes, I do. The man could get women to throw their panties at him.
Again.
He's a god.
Yeah.
This is him.
There you go.
This is him.
All right, guys. Well, that is the show. We hope you enjoyed it. Want to give a big thanks out to our friend Paul Preston. Go check out those movies, Monkey Men, or Monkey Man, I think is what it was, and then the Steve Martin documentary on Apple TV. Those really sound interesting. So, Steve, thank you for coming in again, buddy.
Yes, sir.
Thank you. It's fun as always.
Yeah, absolutely. I'd like to thank Gabe Braxton, I think. I'm not too sure.
Possibly.
Yeah. So, and until then, guys, be good to each other. The show's website is yourweeklydose.com. X and Instagram is yourweeklydose1. Email us at yourweeklydose1@gmail.com.
Yes, sir. And look up Sketchy Budget Entertainment, everything. Google us. Follow on all social media, on the interwebs. And y'all have a good week, y'all.
Absolutely, guys. Take care. Be good. We'll catch you next week.
Come on. Be smart, America.
Your Superman tonight. sent you.
Thank you for listening to this week's show. Don't forget to support the show by shopping on Amazon. Just go to our website, yourweeklydose.com, click on the Amazon banner, and bookmark. Then start shopping. Remember to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at yourweeklydose1 and Facebook at yourweeklydose. We'll see you next week.